Today's shiur is a Masechta Avos, Perek Beis, Mishneh Vav. The Mishneh begins, Af hu, he also, ra'a gulgoilus, saw a skull, achas, one skull, shetzofa, that was floating up pnei amayim, on the surface of the water. Who is the af hu referring to? It is referring to Hillel HaZaken, as we found the hu ha'ya oimer in the last Mishneh, and as we explained in Mishneh Dalad, the Hillel that is mentioned there in the middle of the Mishnah refers to Hillel HaZaken. So Hillel HaZaken also once saw a skull floating on the water. And the Mishnah is going to tell us the reaction of Hillel HaZaken. What this Mishnah is going to teach us is that anyone who does evil, eventually, it may take time, but eventually he will get punished for his evil doing. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam works, as the Gemara tells us in Saita, on Daf Ches Amud Beis, B'mida she'adam moided, ba moidedim loy. Mida keneged mida. The way a person acts, that's how a Kodesh Baruch Hu acts to him. Nothing happens by chance in the world, and everything is brought about through the Hashgacha Elyona, through the Ribbono Shel Olam, being Mashgiach on this world, checking what a person does, and if he did an evil act, he will eventually get punished for it. So what was Hillel's reaction to this skull that he found floating on the surface of the water? Amar Law, he said to the skull, Al de'ateift atfuch, because you drowned others, that's why they drowned you. The soif, and the end will be, metifayach, that those who drowned you, yitufun, they too will be drowned by others. And what Hillel was trying to say is that if I see that your skull is floating in the water, then it must be that you were a Rasha, and you had people as prey. You preyed on people. You were molestem as a brius, and used to kill them. And in order to cover up the evil that you had done, the murder that you had done, you tried to hide it by throwing the corpse into the water so that no one should find out about it. And as you did, so is done to you. So that's the beginning of the mission. Al da'teift, you must have drowned someone, therefore atfuch, therefore you were drowned. The end will be that the ones who drowned you will likewise be drowned by others. Now, the question can be asked, those who drowned you, what did they do wrong? You were chayiv misa, you had drowned someone else. And the answer is that the person who drowned you was not doing it as a shliach bezdin. The only one who has a right to take someone else's life is if a case is brought in front of Bezdin, and Bezdin gives a psak that that person is chayv misa, and then if one is a shliach Bezdin, a messenger of Bezdin, he has a right to take that person's life. This was not the case here. And therefore, the only reason that the Ribbono Shel Olam allowed someone else to kill you is because megalgalin zechus al yedei zakai, that when someone is meritous, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends things of merit his way, and the opposite, megalgalin chayva al yedei chayiv, a person who himself is guilty of doing evil, the Ribbono Shel Olam causes that things of chiyuv, things of guilt, come his way as well. And therefore, you who drowned others, you were chayiv misa. The Ribbono Shel Olam made it that the person who drowned you is a chayiv, and therefore it came his way to kill you, but eventually all evil will be seen by Hashem, and Hashem will take the proper action, mida keneged mida. Even the person who drowned you, he too will eventually be drowned. Nothing happens by chance. Begins the next Mishnah, Mishnah Zayin. Hu Hayoimer, Hillel HaZaken used to say the following. And what this Mishnah deals with is excess. And as a hakdama to this Mishnah, we should mention the Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim. We have a famous machloikis there between Rashi and the Ramban, where the Torah tells us, Kedoshim to you, you should be holy. Rashi says, Perushim and Arayis, you should separate yourself from the forbidden marriages that the Torah prohibits. However, the Ramban learns that the Pasuk is not speaking about Isser. It's not speaking about things that the Torah prohibits you from doing, but rather it's speaking about things that are mutter, that are permitted, things of rishus, that you have permission. But even when you have permission, do not indulge. You have a right to eat, but don't be a glutton. You have a right to drink, but don't become drunk. And as the Ramban expresses, is a person should not be a menuvel v'rishus HaTorah. He should not become a degenerate person with the Torah's permission. Since the Torah did not give any amount of alcoholic beverage that you can only drink up to this amount and not more, a person can say to himself, since there's no limitation, I can drink in excess. And therefore, there is a lav in the Torah. There's a mitzvah, a seid of the Torah, kedoshim to you, be holy. Don't be a menuvel b'rishus HaTorah. Don't become degenerate and say, I have the Torah's permission to do it. And therefore, any excess, even in things that were permitted in, is not recommended by the Torah. The lashon of the Rav on this Mishnah is, kol rebuyin kashin la'adam. All excess is difficult for a person, is not good, it's detrimental for a person, chutz, with the exception, mi ribui Torah v'chachma utztaka. If a person has excess Torah, excess wisdom, excess charity, all those excesses are meritorious. But any other excess, that is something that is not good for a person. The Gemara tells us, ein adam meis v'chatzi tavasa biyadai. If a person goes after his desire, his will, he will not die having accomplished even half of his desire. Chazal also tell us, Mishi yesh lo mana, writes a Masayim. You have 100, you want 200. Yesh lo Masayim, you have 200, writes a Dalad Meitz. Then you want 400. A person will never get satisfied from the excess, from having more and more. And therefore, the first memra of Hillel here in the mission is Mar Bebosar. If a person is a glutton and eats a lot and his waist expands, Mar Berima, he's just setting himself up that for after death he will have many worms, he will have many maggots. And as the Rav brings down from the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, Koshe Rima Lameis, Kemachat Bebasar Chai. The pain that the mace has from the maggot, from the worm, is as painful as a needle in the flesh of someone who is living. Continues the Mishnah. Before we get to the next memory, I just want to speak out what I saw in Irving Bunim's work on Pirkei Avos. Mar Bebasar, if a person lets himself into a lot of Olam Hazeh, a lot of physical pleasure, Mar Berima, he is letting himself into, Rima can also mean, besides a worm, it can mean trickery, deceit, illusion. All of Olam Hazeh is an illusion. A person thinks, the more gashmius, the more physical pleasure I have, the happier I will be. But that's all an illusion. When he looks back at a life full of physical pleasure, he realizes that he's not fulfilled, that he has not accomplished in this world. It's all been a rima. It's all been an illusion. Continues the Mishnah. Mar b'nechasim, if a person has a lot of properties, mar b'daga, he has a lot of worry because he has to make protection of his property, that they shouldn't get lost, they shouldn't get stolen. And this would be a case of Oisher Shomer Labalav Larasai, where a person has richness and wealth that is just there for the master for his detriment. A chassid was once mispalel, as the Rav brings, that he should not have pizur nefesh, that his soul should not be splintered and fragmented. How would it be splintered and fragmented? If he has properties in Europe, in Eretz Yisrael, in South America, in North America, his mind is not at ease. It's fragmented, and he cannot concentrate on Torah, on mitzvahs, on the important things of life. His mind is mefuzar, umefurad. It is fragmented and divided. Marba Nashim, if a person has a lot of wives, Marba Kshafim, he will have a lot of witchcraft. This mission is speaking in the days before Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershon, that prohibited Jews of Ashkenazic descent who accepted the Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershon from having more than one wife. The Sephardic Jews in many locations did not accept it originally. However, Bizman Hazeh, almost universally, even the Sephardic Jews have accepted only to have one wife. But in the time of Chazal, where more than one wife was permitted, so Hillel tells us, Mar Benashim, if you have many wives, you're also going to have Mar B'Kshafim, you're going to have a lot of witchcraft, because the wives would use the witchcraft in order to get closer to their husbands. Each one was vying for the attention of the husband, and therefore they would use witchcraft in order to win his attention. And therefore, if you're going to have a lot of wives, the more wives you have, the more witchcraft will be in your house. Mar b'shvachos, you'll have a lot of maidservants. Mar b'zima, you'll have a lot of immorality, a lot of lewdness. And Bunim brings down that perhaps this does not only refer to the maidservants themselves, but this refers to the mistress of the house. If she will have nothing to do and she'll be bored, and this can lead a person, as the Mishnah tells us in Subas and Daf Nun Tesamid Beis, it can lead a person to zima, to immorality. Rabbi Lezer Oimer, says the Mishnah, afila hechnisu loy meya shvachis. If a woman brought from her father's house as a dowry 100 maidservants, so we would think that she has nothing to do in the house. Anything that is supposed to be done for the house will already be done by the maidservants. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Lezer tells us, no, kaifel lasis betzemer. He can force her that she has to sew, she has to weave, she has to use the wool to produce. Why? Shabatola mevio lidei zima. The very word of our Mishnah. By not having anything to do, by being bored, that leads to immorality. So Mar B'Shvachas Mar B'Zima is not only referring to the Zima of the Shvachas, but it's referring to the Zima of the Balas Habayis. She should be, even if she's wealthy, she should be busy, she should be a productive person. Mar B'Avonim, a person has a lot of slaves, Mar B'Gezel, then the slaves will steal. And he'll have a lot of robbery and burglaries in his house. The Rav tells us that the Mishnah goes from one level to another. A person starts out getting involved in physical pleasures. He eats a lot, and then he wants to get more and more pleasures and physical, and therefore he'll acquire more property. And once he acquires more property and he sees that he's able to support many wives, he'll marry many wives. And once he has many wives, then each one will have maidservants. So he'll have more maidservants. And then once he has this whole large house full of wives and maidservants and properties, he'll need avodim, he'll need servants to take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. And as a result, he's building up this entire Gashmi's empire with all its deficiencies, with all its chesronas. And it, now at this point in the Mishnah, it's as if the Mishnah would say, Avol, but Mar B'Torah, all the excesses we had till now were detrimental to a person. But mar b'Torah, mar b'chayim. If a person learns a lot of Torah, he'll have a lot of life. As Rabbi Wein points out in the Sefer on Avos, not only the quantity of life, that he'll live long, but the very quality of life, the essence of life. He'll be able to look at everything through a Torah perspective. He'll be able to live a Torah life, and that qualitatively will be a increase in the quality of his life. And then the Mishnah continued. We find on this, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ki bi yirbu yamecha v'yosifu lecha shnais chayim. So the Torah adds years to a person's life, and as we explained, not only quantitatively, but even qualitatively, he'll have a richer life. The Mishnah continues, Mar b'yeshiva. The simple pshat is, if he learns a lot in front of the Chachamim, Mar b'chachma, he'll have not only the wisdom of Torah, but even the wisdom of the world. Some explain that Mar b'yeshiva means if he has many Talmidim who are sitting in front of him in the yeshiva, Mar b'chachma, he himself will be enriched. Not only will he enrich a Talmidim, but as the Gemara tells us in Tainus, on Dav Zayin, that harbe lomadati mi raboisa, I learned a lot from my rebbes, from my teachers, and I learned more from my chaveroi, from my friends, umi talmidai, yoiser mikulam. The most that I learned was from my students. They sharpened me the most. So mar be yeshiva, you have a lot of talmidim in your yeshiva, mar be chokhm will make you a wiser person. Others have the gears to hear the opposite of mar be chokhma, marbe yeshiva. And that means, if you're marbe chachma, if you don't only teach Torah, but you explain the Torah, and you show people that what you're saying makes sense, and there's a tam, there's a reason for everything that you learn, so that will motivate many people to come and learn by you. So marbe chachma, if you can show the reason for what you're saying, marbe yeshiva, you will be zoicha to have many talmidim. Continues the Mishnah, mar be'etzah, if you take counsel from others, from gedolim, from people who are greater than you, mar be'tvuna, this will bring bina, you will be zocha to be, as a result of what you take counsel from the people greater than you, it will teach you to be a maven dover mitoich dover, to learn one thing from the other. Mar be'tzedakah, if you give a lot of charity, mar be'shalom, this will increase peace in the world, and the peace could be referring to the Medrash in Vayikra Lamed Daled, Ha'ani Azeh Yoshev Misraim. We have an ani, a poor person who's complaining, and he says, Ma'ani Garu Miploni, why am I worse than that other fellow? Hu Yashna Mitase, he sleeps on his bed, Vani Yashin Khan, I'm a homeless person sleeping outside without any bed. Ploini Yashin Bebesa, he's sleeping in his house. Vani Khan, and here I am outside, a homeless person. And what did you do when you saw the plight of your fellow Jew? Vamadita Atavanasatala, you got up and you gave him charity, you gave him staka, chayecha, says Hashem. I swear by your life, Shani Mala Olecha, Ki Ilu Asisa Shalom Beniu Levain. That I will consider it as if you have made peace between the Ani and me, because the Ani was complaining against me, I wasn't fair to him, and you like made shalom bayis, you made peace between the Ani and myself. That's what I will consider, not only the charity that you gave, but actually mar b'tzedakah, as the pasuk tells us in Yeshaya Lamed Beis Yud Zayin, v'hoya maisat tzedakah shalom. It's not only the charity that you do, but the shalom and kaviyachol, it's even making peace between the Ani and Hashem himself. The Mishnah continues, Kon Hashem Tov, a person through Torah and Chacham and tzedakah, he acquired a good name for himself, Kon la'atzmai. Everything else that a person possesses, he has to share with others. But a good name he has for himself. And sometimes the good name does not go on to his children and grandchildren. But it's something that he has for himself. And the Tosfos Yontif explains, Kana la'atzmi means a shame toiv that a person acquires is an atzmius. It's the essence. It's the very essence of the person himself. Because if a person does not have a good name, he never acquired a good name, says the Taisus Yantif, Hinehu Kaloi Hoya, he is as if he never existed. And finally, the last member of Hillel in this mission is Kanalei Divrei Torah. If a person was Zocha to become one, united with the Torah, and he acquired Torah, as the Pasuk says, Uvechachmasai Yege, Uvetzairasai Yege, Yamin Velaila, it becomes the very Torah of the person who's learning the Torah, Sora, so, then Kanalei Chaye Yoilum Abba. If his soul is dovek, it is attached to the Torah, then he is attached to the true life, and through the Torah, he has acquired a part in the world to come.